Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon on this Saturday, July 2nd, this 4th of July weekend, 2022. This is Mike Rickard with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tantalk family of stations and streaming live on both platforms from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here in the heart of Champa Bay and the hot heat of Champa Bay. And I've got my two first-round draft picks, Oscar Garner III sitting across from me to help me through the On the Tee of Florida broadcast, and now Ben Botham's in the house. We're down here at Ferg's. It's kind of quiet. You know, we don't have hockey to talk about. We don't have baseball. It's up in Canada today. I think it's a 7:05 first pitch.
NBA free agency a little bit, but other than that.
You're going to be in free agency?
Oh, yeah. I just, I'm looking to explore some contracts with the Knicks because they're handing out.
Well, you know what? You're going to get traded if you don't let me do the intro.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's why I keep that youngster around. He's doing a superb job, by the way. We got a jam-packed show as we do each and every Saturday. A lot of variety. A lot of variety, and Ben's bringing some of it to the airwaves. We've got Zach Luttrell. He'll be up in just a few minutes. He's executive director, the new executive director of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. The Gibbs High Track Team, they're stopping by. In fact, just had a little conversation with one of the coaches, Coach Dwight Barber. Yeah. And looking forward to, I think 9 kids are coming down. That's
quite a group.
That's what it's going to be. In the fall of 2022, we're going to have a lot of high school kids down here. So we're going to talk to the Gibbs High team. We've got Captain Jeff Vickers of Florida Fishing Adventures. He'll stop in on the 4th of July. And then you're bringing us something unique, Andrew Cheney. Mm-hmm. Sailing champion, he's coming down.
Oh yeah, he's coming down. He'll be cruising on down, and you'll know him when you see him. Definitely a salty sea boat captain.
Well, his opportunity to work with, in my opinion, a cinematic legend, John Candy.
Oh yeah, he's got some great stories working with them, and even he was even in Cocoon in the background a little bit. So he's been in quite a few movies.
All right, and your mother made a cameo appearance, so we'll talk about that. Drew Irvine, my buddy from Iowa, he's down there pitching for the Bradenton Marauders. He's a rookie pitcher from God's Country, pitched at University of Iowa, and I'm going to let Ben Botham and he share pitcher stories. And, okay, you don't have your computer. I need you to do the...
I got the standings right here.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. Let's do those standings. There's Andy DeLay, Burning Rubber Radio, who's going to bring the captain down here. That's about 1 o'clock today. As I said, variety show, jam-packed. And you don't get too settled in there. There's going to be a bunch of high school kids in about 20 minutes, about 9 of them taking over. See? Former law enforcement. Stops by and starts taking over already. Moving me. Here, just take the mic for an hour so I can go get in the air conditioning. Anyway, let's go over to Ferg's from the front row leaderboard on this 4th of July weekend. Not a whole lot to talk about, with the exception, as I said, of baseball.
Yeah, baseball's been going on. Well, there's a little bit going on with hockey. You know, Braden Point signed the contract extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was great to hear. But going into the standings, Yankees are still at the top of the AL East, 56 wins and 21 losses, with the Blue Jays right behind, 44 wins, 33 losses. Red Sox, 43 and 34, and the Rays, 40 and 36, with the Orioles at the very bottom, 35 and 43. AL Central, with the Twins, 44 and 36. AL West, Astros, 49 and 27. Moving on into the National League, we have the Mets leading it off with in the NL East with 48 wins, 29 losses. Braves right behind them, 45 wins, 33 losses. There's some drama going on with the Braves and the Dodgers right now, which is pretty interesting.
You know, what is that deal with Freddie Freeman? I mean, if his agent kept that information from him, first of all, the agent's fired. You're not getting your commish.
Mm-hmm.
And because you saw how emotional he got when he went back to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Freddie Freeman was talking how he said, quote, last weekend in Atlanta was a very emotional time for me and my family. Freeman said that he was working through some issues with his longtime agents at Excel, and that his representation remains a fluid situation, and he will update if needed. So obviously he's not happy with them in the slightest, and the agency came out and said,
"Is there a breach of contract possibility that he could be a free agent if he's not happy with the Dodgers? He's gonna win another ring."
No one said that if that was in his contract or not, but you know the agency is completely disagreeing with his statement, saying that none of this actually happened. But I tend to lean on the side that it was very true.
Freddie Freeman is he's just a down-to-earth guy. I'm not going to pick that up just to appease him. Mm-hmm. Braves fan.
And he wanted to stay with Atlanta. I mean, he'd been there for 12 years, and his contract with the Dodgers, which was $162 million over 6 years, you know, he probably, with all the taxes and in California, probably isn't going to be making as much as what he would have made in Atlanta with everything taken out and with the deferred payments. I think they said it was somewhere upwards of $50 million in deferred payments.
Plus, they loved him. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Captain Jeff Vickers is in the house, and we'll talk to him about 1 o'clock at Florida Fishing. Doesn't he look like a fishing captain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He'll be on about 1 o'clock, and we'll share some stories there. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good.
It's that kind of day. It's the 4th of July weekend. It's we're downtown right in front of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and back to where we get to be with all the activity, not isolated upstairs, sweating our carcasses off. The wimp, Big Oscar, Garner III, whining about the heat. Go back to Michigan.
Sweating bullets.
No, this is perfect. You feel alive with the humidity.
Exactly, and that's a Floridian saying that. All right. So
the NL Central, we got the Brewers, 45-34.
Oh, my God, I can't believe we lost two to the Brewers.
I know. It's crazy. It's very, very unfortunate. I mean, last night also with against the Blue Jays, we lost a couple there. And Brett Phillips made an appearance pitching, though. You know, that was pretty neat. Always love seeing Brett on the mound.
That's not neat. That means they're getting their ass kicked.
It does. But still, Brett got Vlad Guerrero broken bats ground out. So that was, you know, good for Brett. He's honing his pitching abilities.
I love you, Ben Botham. You are always the glass is half full guy.
Yeah. I try my best.
What was the highlight of the night? Hey, broken bat.
Yeah, but, well, I'm pretty optimistic.
What did you throw him, a knuckleball?
It looked like a curve, actually. Had a good little bite on it.
Did it?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm pretty optimistic for all the players, except for Kevin Kiermaier, who made a nice little error.
You're not a fan of his at all.
I am not. He needs to go.
I was listening down here on the radio, and it sounded like a horrible play.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. He was trying to make a Willie Mays basket catch going out into center field. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. He's a showboat.
Okay. Don't degrade my man, Willie Mays, my favorite.
No, I love him. He's great. Willie Mays needed
Say
to make
hey
that
kid.
Catch. That yeah. That was a necessity. This catch by Kevin Kiermaier, or not catch by Kevin Kiermaier, was absolutely pitiful.
That changed the game, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it did. It completely changed the game. In the third inning,
we were the play-by-play guys, and they obviously know.
Yeah, in the third inning, we were leading by one with Kluber pitching, and then all of a sudden, after that error, they ended up the Blue Jays ended up with five doubles. With Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette hitting doubles off the wall, it was unreal. Unreal how the game just completely turned right there.
How's Dodgers and Padres?
So then the Dodgers are 48-28, and the Padres are 46-33. So the Padres are coming up, getting close to the Dodgers, but I think the Dodgers will hold it out for the rest of the season.
And keep in mind, folks, you know, the All-Star game is July 19th, as we come upon that mark. It's only the halfway mark of the season, and six teams get in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So don't give up on the Rays just yet.
Yeah, I was getting a little doom and gloom, though, about the Rays.
You have been negative Nelly.
Yeah, but I was still on the mindset of the old playoff structure. But now with the new playoff structure, I do think
every day I look at the standings, I look at the totals. It's kind of like when we were playing the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they don't have that great a record.
No, they don't. They certainly don't. And so the Rays definitely have a great opportunity to make the playoffs this year. And especially after the All-Star break, I do think the Rays will hopefully start figuring it out. It's just a matter of making sure that we limit the errors and continue to be a fundamentally strong team.
Yeah, and generate some runs.
Runs would be fantastic.
You think? Oh, my God. I didn't tell you. I went to the game last Sunday against the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
A W.
Yeah.
A sweep.
Very good.
And I tell you what. Shame on the fans that don't go over there.
Exactly.
Because if you want to have a good experience, and you know, I'm fortunate. I have seats in left field, right up against the wall. And I took a couple of, a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, my girlfriend's grandkids. They had, and I love that more than anything else. The 10-year-old was having the time of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And I absolutely loved that. And Choi's his favorite player. And to see a kid, and it got even cooler. You know, the 6-year-olds, you got to have all the fun, you know, petting the Rays, yada, yada, yada. But if you get interactively involved into the game, it's not a bad environment over there. And Big O, you've been over several times and shared some tickets with you. It's not that bad. But the bottom line is there's no reason not to have more butts in the seat.
Mm-hmm. And it's air conditioned, so Big O won't.
Exactly. That's why you like going over in air conditioned, having a $15 coldie.
It's a free air-conditioned room that I can go to every weekend. Why wouldn't you go?
Exactly.
Get out of the heat, yeah. See some good games.
Exactly.
Watch Kiermaier make bad decisions.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Get off his back. Kiermaier's been the face of this franchise.
He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be.
Ever since he stole that outfielder from Randy, I think it was that last season or a couple seasons ago, yeah. I've been on the same bandwagon as him. I just haven't been as expressive.
Okay, this is a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros.
We're positive on everyone else, but Kiermaier.
You're positive that he needs to go. All right. Do you have any USFL news you want to break down for us?
I don't know a single thing about the USFL.
And no one does.
It's the championship.
And no one else does either.
Today, right?
Look at this entourage that Gibbs hybrid. That's fabulous. They're in the house. I like it when you show up with the team.
Unfortunately, I see a FAMU shirt over there. That's one of our rivals over at Savannah State. Like that.
All right. Okay, so we did folks from the front row, and you're going to stick around and do some social media for me. You're going to slide over.
Yep.
But we're going to talk to Zach Luttrell real quick. We'll throw you on, Coach, about 12:30, a little bit after 12:30.
Real quick shout-out, follow us on Instagram at tstp.sports.
Zach, Mike Rickard, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Mike, how are you? Doing well here.
I'm great. Happy 4th of July weekend, and happy joining the Florida Sports Hall of Fame as their incoming executive director. Give you a little history between Barry Smith and I. He's my unofficial producer of this show. When I moved here from Iowa, I've been in the radio world. I didn't know a lot of people. Met Barry. We bonded, and I've been blessed that I have him in my world. So blame him for giving your number on the 4th of July to me. To bug you while you're probably hanging out with family, but we'll only hold you for about 15 minutes, and we got a lot of exciting news. We do a lot of promotions for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame here, and I'm looking forward to building the relationship and working with you. Well, I want you to give our audience down here in Florida a little bit of your history, your bio.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's funny that you say that about Barry. He seems to be the person that brings everybody together. He's pretty well connected, and he's the reason why I actually got introduced to the Florida Sports Hall of Fame myself. So that's good to hear. But, Mike, my background, for the last 12 years or so, I've been running a group called the Roaring Riot, which I created up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And on the surface, the Roaring Riot, you could consider it a fan group for the Carolina Panthers. We put together all-inclusive travel packages for all the Panthers games, where we take anywhere from 200 to 1,000 people with us. We throw big tailgating events for all the home games in Charlotte. But really, if you dig a little bit deeper, what started out as a tailgate group has evolved into something much, much different. We are a community of fans, a community of people that use the Panthers as the media to bring everyone together. And you know, the evolution that started as a tailgating group, we've turned into doing a lot more active work in our community. We have our own 501c3 where we raise money to create experiences for other fans who might not have the opportunity to do it for themselves. And just other things to be more active in the community as a big group of people. So that was what introduced me or excited me actually about the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. Just a great group of inductees and athletes that the hall represents, as well as some board members and other people who are community partners invested in the group. And I just think there's a lot of crossover in what I've done and what the opportunities for the future of the hall are down there.
Well, and, you know, Barry's kind of like the godfather. So he'll be watching every move you make, but he'll let you, you know, guys our age, we like to see the youth movement and fresh new ideas. And I was just enamored with what you had created. And it's something I think you could do in almost every NFL city. I don't know if they could take it as far as your talent has taken it, but it's one hell of a concept, my friend.
Yeah, and so we've had a lot of success, and you know, don't get me wrong, we've had some luck fall our way too. We started out putting together packages, and a lot of the fans viewed us mostly like a travel agent, but we had bigger aspirations for that. So when we launched our membership program, we were looking for a way to get people more involved and more invested, and a way to identify as being part of the group and not just a travel group. In 2015, if you recall, the Panthers went 15-1 that year. Cam Newton was the MVP, and pretty exciting. So it was
seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're telling me. So, you know, I don't know how much people in Florida keep up with the Panthers. You know, certainly the Bucs fans might, but it's been pretty challenging to watch the games the last couple of years around here, to say the least. So it's nice that we have a community of people to do it with, so we can all lick our wounds together.
Now, did you grow up in North Carolina? Where'd you go to college? Did you plan on being in a sports management, marketing, media world at any time in your life?
So yeah, I am from Charlotte originally. I went to school at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. I grew up an athlete. I played soccer at a pretty high level, including a little bit collegiately. So I started out actually in the gaming industry. I worked for a company here in Charlotte that made electronic poker tables for casinos, and you know, had a ton of fun doing that. But, you know, ultimately I always wanted to see how I could break into the sporting arena and sports management or marketing. And, you know, it's always tough to do to latch on with a team. And so back in 2015, like I said, you know, we've been doing trips for probably about 5 or 6 years at that point, and I just came up with the idea of how I could turn, being a professional Panthers fan into a career as opposed to just a hobby. And again, we launched the membership program. We ended up, we have over 8,000 members worldwide. We have 44 what we call chapters, which are mini clusters of our organization across the country. Actually, we have 5 or 6 international chapters as well. So it's taken on its own life, and it's just really fun to do. And you know, again, I'm glad there's a lot of crossover with the hall, and I think I'll be able to take a lot of the skills that I've developed over the last decade plus and implement them of what we want to do in our vision going forward down in Florida.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm going to do a shout out to our affiliates, and then we'll continue this conversation with Zach Luttrell. He's going to be the incoming executive director of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. A shout out to our flagship WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, reaching Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater. And then, of course, you've got 104.3 FM, WDCF, AM 1350, and 102.3 FM. And Brooksville to the Sunshine Bridge, all of Pinellas County, Tampa to Lakeland, and north to Zephyr Hills. And, of course, we are streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com. That gives you an idea, Zach, of the reach for us each and every week when we're promoting events. And in fact, next Friday, I'm driving over to Orlando for the announcement of the 2022 inductees for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. I won't stick around for the golf tournament, but... I'll be over there in Orlando. Are you going to make the trip down or not until a little bit later on?
Oh, no, absolutely. So, you know, I really started with the hall roughly 2 weeks ago, maybe a little bit more, and just hitting the ground running because, like you said, we have our fifth annual Celebrity Golf Classic coming up this upcoming weekend at Reunion Resort in Orlando. So like you said, Friday we'll be having the pairings party at Reunion and announcing the 2022 class for the Hall, and really excited about the inductees for this class. They're really strong, and I think a lot of people will be excited to hear some of those names. And then, yeah, Saturday's the golf tournament, so no, we'll, you know, throwing it right to the fire, hitting the ground running, and I'll be there and look forward to meeting you when I'm there.
Well, we may catch up with you next Saturday. I know you'll be walking around the golf course, but we may catch up with you and let you make the announcement, or I'll bug Barry in his backswing to make the announcement of Friday's activities live on the show down here. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But that'll be a great event. And I like the concept now that I'm sure everybody, you know, on the board shared with you. In fact, John Rieger, have you met John through Zoom or on the phone yet?
Oh, yeah. John and I go back actually a good way. So I've been John for about 6 or 7 years now.
I just got done talking to John. He comes on. We have a golf show called On the Tee Florida, and we'll introduce you all that. But yeah, he
was
does.
Was he out on the beach when you spoke to him? That seems to be where I always catch him.
Well, he is from Crescent Beach, live, sitting next to his buddy, having a Corona. And he does it every week, the John Rieger Report. And we have a lot of fun with that. So, John, I'm sure those guys have all told you that they want to take this Florida Sports Hall of Fame concept and move it around the state, which makes sense. You know, I was in Iowa, and I had a statewide marketing, sales, and sports world. But we made certain that we reached the entire state. It's only 3.1 million people. But, you know, the Redneck Riviera, they need, you know, people love sports there. The entire state needed to know more about the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and I applaud you guys for that.
No, I think that's a great concept, and that just kind of plays into just really expanding the diversity of the hall and its offering. And what I mean by that, just looking at, you know, the class this year, it's a very diverse group, not only, you know, racially and by sex, but also the different sports that you know, the players have success in, respectively, and are going to be inducted. You know, when you think about Florida, I mean, it's certainly a top three sports market in the entire country. So, and it's not just football or baseball or basketball, you know, the major sports. There's so many different sports that people are playing there. So, you know, inducting all these different athletes, moving it around to different parts of the state. And, you know, really, I think that expansion, too, should start down in the youth level. It seems like any person, any kid competing in youth athletics in Florida should be aware of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame and should have the aspiration of being inducted into the hall. So I think that's some of the vision that I shared with people like Barry and John and Rick Hazard. And you know, I'm excited to put together some programs to start building the brand and creating the community and just making athletes in Florida more aware of the different and various sports, but also, you know, the opportunity to be inducted into the hall.
Well, Zach, that's where you and I will be having a lot of conversations. We work with the NFL alumni and as well as Florida Rising Stars, and we're going to build a campaign for you to take a look at. And we dive in, like right now we're going to have 9 kids from Gibbs High School. The track kids are going to be right here live in front of me. We are pouring a lot of energy into this Tri-County area of getting these kids all exposed to what we have to offer, whether it's NFL, whether it's Florida Sports Hall of Fame. I did that in Iowa. Our message is providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros, and we'll help you deliver that together. I got a talented young group of kids. We'll put together some social media interactive alliances, and I'm looking forward to it.
No, that sounds great, Mike. I mean, I think that aligns perfectly, and I look forward to having more conversations about what your vision, you know, is and how that overlaps with what we want to do as well.
Last question. Are you a golfer?
Well, I would like to say that I am, you know, those that I might share my handicap with might not think I am. But no, I love getting out there, and it's actually a funny story. I grew up on a golf course and probably played only 15 times in my entire life. And then, you know, once COVID started, and obviously we weren't doing a lot of events around the NFL because there were a limited number of fans in the stands at that point, you know, I picked up the clubs and started playing a lot more. So I've played, you know, at least 100 times since then. So I've improved dramatically, but you know, I've got a long way to go, and I've actually joked around with Rieger about getting about on the course and giving me some tips. And even though that's actually not a joke, I'm going to get him to do that for me.
Well, in my world, I've had a golf show for 14 years, and typically it's two pros and a hack. I'm the hack, and I do an annual tournament. I haven't selected a, maybe we'll partner on this. I haven't selected a charity yet or a group. It'll probably be kids. I'm certain of that. But the Hack Nation Invitational, making sure
I love it.
It's making sure that there's love out there for us hacks. And Barry will ask me from time to time, hey, you want to golf? I go, no, you do not want me golfing with you. I'll pitch, putt, and that's it. But I'm glad to see that you're just getting yourself into this game. But we'll talk more about that. I'll see you next Friday, and I look forward to continuing these conversations, Zach. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Look forward to meeting you, and definitely enjoy the weekend, and I'll see you next weekend.
All right, my man. Have a great 4th.
All right, thanks, sir.
Zach Luttrell, of course, he's the new executive director of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. I got all-stars in front of me. Man, I've been invaded. I've been invaded by some good-looking young people and the bodyguard for all the kids here. I want to thank the coaches for bringing... My man, good to see you. We finally got this to happen. I appreciate it. All right, I'll start with you since you provided me the opportunity. Ben, you want to get that microphone in front of Coach and we'll start there. And how many people we have? One, two. You might have just broke the record. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You tied the record for followers coming down. That's the Gibbs High family coming down to Ferg's to talk a little track and field.
Go us.
I love, yeah, go you all day long. I love that. Now look at the, I have a grandson. These kids, look at this young man. He's filming. How old are you?
13.
Oh my God, the technology in their hands blows me away. I can't turn my phone on half the time. So, Coach, who'd you bring down today?
Well, I brought down some young kids from different various AAU teams around. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah, I brought down some young kids from different various teams around, AAU teams around Pinellas County.
I love it.
Right now we have Coach Reese. He coached for St. Pete Nitro. We got Rodney. We got Quan.
Lanaya. Isaiah.
And Solomon, a.k.a. Mr. Solo over there. Mr. Solo.
Solo, my man.
Then in the back, we got Coach Barber, Dwight Barber.
I met him.
We have Andino Ferguson, come AJ. DJ. And we have Avery Tucker. Avery Tucker Jr., come AJ.
Well, thanks for coming down, all of you. Hey, and Mr. Ferguson, my buddy that owns this place, last name is Ferguson, so you got some juice in this place. Sam Ferguson, yeah. Give me a pitcher there of water. I'm a Ferguson. Well, thanks for bringing everybody down, and I love this, because like I say, from the peewees to the preps to the pros, and when you start at this age with these kids, you know, the love of the sport, or just being active, and I typically don't care how successful they are, but if they're active and doing something positive, that's where you start. And then the coaches will assist them and they'll migrate. So talk a little bit about how these youth programs assist Gibbs High and the other high schools from their track programs.
Well, first of all, a lot of the youth programs, especially track and field, a lot of them, they run when they're little. Then when they get older, they tend to run to like various high schools, St. Pete, Gibbs, Lakewood. Us as coaches, we are here to, let's say, you know, build them up, get them ready for the next level, and it's to train them right. You know, we got a couple here that's going to the AAU Junior Olympics in Greensboro, North Carolina, in the end of July to August, so they'll be competing in various events.
I've told you before, I'm going to tell you on the air in front of everybody, when you're doing fundraisers for these events, get a hold of us here at Ferg's, and we'll help you with fundraisers.
Yes, sir.
Because I think it's that important, and I love these kids getting a chance to travel outside of, you know, St. Pete, seeing the world, and then getting to compete at the same time. And then the camaraderie that brings and the tightness. I love that, too. So did my buddy already give you a hell about FAMU? Because he's Savannah State, man.
Yeah.
He's the brains behind the operation. These are my first round draft picks to keep the old man in line.
Right.
So, Coach, share a little bit of your history and working with these kids. And Reese, right?
Yes, sir.
So you brought some Reese's Pieces with you, I see. How many you got here?
I have a total of 5, but I currently have 4 with me today.
Well, God bless you. And God bless you that they're rocking and rolling and running track and having fun and hanging around with Pops. So talk a little bit about your background. Did you participate in track in high school, college?
I ran track 1 year, 8th grade, middle school. I did not have a good track coach. They just went out there and said, run. We didn't know how to run. They would just run around the track. We weren't really good as a team. But coming back to it, you had to actually learn how to actually be a coach. Because it's not about knowing how to run. It's about how to teach how to run and get others to respond appropriately.
That's the reality with good coaches, even if they didn't participate. And your story, I really applaud you, because it sounds like in the 8th grade. And I know a lot of young people. I ran collegiately, and I'm addicted to track. But it's hard. People are like, and it's lonely. People are like, I don't want to run track. But it's one of the best sports for the rest of your lives, kids, by far. And now here you are, a guy that, you know, walked away from it, giving back to the kids and educating. And did you have other coaches mentor you and help you?
In track, no. Other sports, yes. And given that my profession is being a PE coach, an elementary PE coach, I have all the wherewithal in the world to understand the concept of being in shape and also recognizing talent and sifting it to the right spots. So being in the elementary, it helps out a great deal in putting them in different sports. And track is one of the major ones.
Now, I love PE because back in the day, 100 years ago, when I was, you know, rolling, you went to PE and you were an athlete, typically they're coaches, they didn't make you participate because they didn't want you to get hurt. But then the rest of the kids were like, that's not fair. So then I got into PE and, you know, do you remember they used to have the president's test?
Yes. President Council of Physical Fitness.
Yeah. You're not that old. That's really going way back. That was a John F. Kennedy plan.
Ooh.
Back in the day. Yeah, the president. And you're nodding. You don't remember that.
I remember the president.
Do you? Well, you might be old. You just look young. But do they have anything like that? Or do you create your own for the kids as far as... Because they all need goals. And I'm sure you set goals for them to try to accomplish things. Is that right?
Right. In school, they call it a fitness ground. And it's the same process, different things, and they actually track it within the county. So now, instead of just getting a paper that was signed by George Bush or whatever, whatnot, if you made a certain amount of pull-ups or something, they actually log it into the system. And it can track you from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. And so you can see your progress throughout the years, especially if they actually put it together and do it right. As in the students doing it right, or doing a proper push-up or a proper pacer test, your curl-ups and your trunk lift. It's all logged in.
That's fabulous, because then they can keep track, and that's motivation.
Right.
And then if they go home to mom and or dad and they say, how you doing, and you know, and they're proud of it, they say, look at this. 21st century, man, that's fabulous. How many, you know, back in the day had that standing broad jump, the 600, all these. What have they migrated up to? What have they advanced to?
It's called a pacer test, and it's pretty much running the length of the basketball court, and they play music on a radio, and there's every 5 seconds there's a beep. You have to cross the end line before that beep happens, and you have 2 times to mess up before they stop you. And that's actually the highlight of all the tests for the fitness gram, and you can determine who's the fastest, who has the best endurance, and the higher your number, the better you are. I, as a PE coach, has used that to my advantage, because if I send kids off the track, well, I can use that as my baseline data to say, well, you've already eclipsed 70 laps in this pacer test where everyone else is averaging about 22. You may be eligible to actually produce on the track. And I do that given that when I was in kindergarten at Gulfport Elementary, I had a coach called Coach Kelly. She's actually a deaconess at Mount Zion Progressive Church right now. I was one of the fastest kids in kindergarten, and she actually took me to Northeast High School to participate in a track meet. I had no idea what was going on. She just said, come on out here and run with these other kids. And I actually ran on the track. I remember that. Now, given that I am a PE coach now, I use that same logic for all of my kids now to be able to participate in track.
Get them excited about doing something like that, right?
Oh, yes.
But then they're blessed because you nurture them all the way through, all the way to the high school level, and basically monitor their progress and see how they're doing. And that is fabulous. You guys need a lot more visibility and respect, and that's what I'm going to continue to do with all the public schools in this community. They're not getting enough love as far as I'm concerned, and that's our mission in 22-23. We got the NFL alumni going to work with us in the community with the kids, and we got the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. We want to make sure I have the private schools on from time to time. They get all the love, you know, the Jesuits, and in Iowa, I worked with all the kids in the urban communities, making sure, and it's people like you that drive, like the four of you, they're driving the bus, essentially, to make sure these things happen. And you need support and help. So you've got the old man behind you. I mean, that's fabulous. And I love the fact the kids love coming to PE.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. Is he like a Marine sergeant? Is he hard? See that? Firm but fair. He's firm but fair. Now, are you diligent? Respect all those topics get touched.
Yes.
I see. I can tell that right away.
I have to.
I agree with you 1,000%. You love them, but you also, like I say, firm but fair.
Yes.
I don't think they'll be down here if they didn't like you. Did you have to drive your own car?
They don't have a choice because they're my own kids.
I know.
At the same time, whether it's school, track, football, baseball, basketball, I'm in the community. I'm everywhere. So I have to be the same person in all aspects. And so understanding that when someone says coach, it may be different volumes of coach, but it's always understood that coach is going to be the same coach regardless.
Yeah, consistency for all the kids.
Yes.
I would say this, though. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends that are coaches doing this all these years. And they have kids. And typically, coaches are tougher on their own kids than they are on the kids that they're working with, coaching, teaching. And they feel that they have to be because you don't ever want to get that response that, well, that's the coach's kid. So I'm sure you got to monitor yourself a little bit from time to time there.
Yes.
Y'all do. So, your background, you grew up here?
Born and raised outside St. Pete.
Well, God bless you. Staying in your neighborhood and giving back. They don't make enough people like you, to be quite candid with you. I appreciate you coming down. These guys just want to sit there and be quiet, or you want to talk to the old man for a second? I talk loud enough. You don't need those, but you need the microphone and talk loud and... Now remember, I'm old. I got ADD, age deficit disorder. So I know you introduced me, but nice and loud, your name and sports you're involved in.
My name is Avery Tucker. I'm involved.
Yeah, pull back closer.
I'm about to say, my name is Avery Tucker. I'm involved with track and football, and I play a little basketball.
Avery Tucker, what's your favorite sport?
Well, I'll say football, because that's what I started with. That's like my first love when it comes to sports.
What grade are you in?
Me, I'm finna become a junior. I'm coming up on my junior year.
Okay, all right. What position playing football?
Running back and an outside linebacker.
Well, you guys are all doing me a favor. You got to get the football coach. I've had Boca Ciega on. I've had Northeast. I haven't had Gibbs. You guys are my first Gibbs guy. I've been banging on the door.
I'm about to say, I don't go to Gibbs, though.
Oh, you don't?
No, I go to St. Pete High School.
Well, I've had St. Pete High on. Yeah. I've had the Green Devils on. That's why you got that green on?
No.
The Green Devils. So what position do you play?
I said running back and outside linebacker.
Which, you like offense better or defense?
Oh, no, it's a toss-up. I like playing both. I like having the balls in my hand, and I like making hits.
Well, you guys should have. Well, you lost. Did you know Coach Sean Davis? Did you ever know him?
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah. Well, he's the head coach now over at Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of mine. He'll probably try to recruit you. He'll try to get you over to Northeast. So how old were you when you started track?
When I started track, I started track sixth grade year, so 12.
Wow. And you know what? Track is good for every sport.
Yeah.
That's one thing kids don't realize, how important it is for track and field. You know, speed wins games. at any level, any sport. I don't care what you say. And to learn how to run properly, as these guys teach you, coach you, is very important. So don't give it up. A lot of guys give it up, even in their senior year after they're done with football. Don't give it up.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to give it up. Cause like,
too short a period in your life. Don't give it up.
Yeah, like you said, I started track because of football. I wanted to get faster. But once I started going to the meets and started practicing, I fell in love with track also. So I don't see myself giving it up.
All right, you want to do a shout-out to anybody listening at home?
I just say shout-out to my dad and my mom for raising me.
What's their names?
Avery Sr. and then Tamika.
That's a smart. But you always start with mom first. You always start with mom first because you want that hot meal when you get home. All right, my man. Well, good luck this year, St. Pete High. We'll probably have you. I'm sure we'll have you guys down. You tell Coach that you want to come down with the football team. Who's this young man? He looks like the quiet one. Talk nice and loud, young man.
All right, my name is Adino Ferguson Jr. and the sports I play is basketball. I do track and field. I play soccer and I do volleyball still.
Wow, that's diversity. I like that diversity. What's your favorite sport? Yeah, you know,
my favorite right now is basketball because that's the sport that my dad played for a little while, and I got the hype for basketball. So I mean, yes.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 13.
Where are you gonna go to high school at?
Gibbs.
Gibbs has superb basketball. I know that. Is that your goal, to play for Gibbs?
Yes, it is.
And what position do you play?
I play center, power forward.
Really? You know what? Track is probably the best choice you made. You get up and down the court because you'll outrun the rest of those guys. And you're seeing that now, the way this game has evolved. There's no centers. They don't post up. They're all fluid. They're all running. They're all running up and down. And track is... A lot of people that play basketball shied away from track and field, unfortunately, back in the day. But reality is that's a great choice on your part. You want to do a shout-out to anybody?
I give shout-outs to my mom, my stepdad, and my rear dad because they've been helping me along the way since I was, like, since I was seven. Since then, I was, like, kind of, you know, a lazy,
typical kid,
shy, got into a lot of fights back then. But, you know,
I'm glad I got you got over that. Because I used to have a boxing club for kids. I would have pulled you into my boxing club, and you would have fought there. That's the only place you would have fought. So, you got a great smile. What's your parents' names?
Shante, Jacoby Flowers, and then Andino Ferguson.
Well, I've got the three of you listening. He looks like they all look like very respectful young people, but good luck, and we'll talk to you when you get to Gibbs High.
All right.
Right? When you're starting as a freshman or sophomore, that's a big challenge. All right, Coach. You want to talk a little bit more? You're the man with the plan. We'll move it over here. I've been wanting to talk a little bit about your prestigious alum that you worked with.
Okay.
So Coach, how many years? Well, first of all, let's do your bio. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from St. Pete. Born and raised here in the Southside. Been a coach in track and field for over 20 years. Head coach at St. Pete Catholic, assistant coach at Gibbs High School, assistant coach at Lakewood, and now assistant coach at Palmetto High School.
Well, you're in the track coaching Hall of Fame, as far as I'm concerned.
And also a USATF track and field official.
Oh, my word. You're my guy. I've been looking, no offense, but I've been looking for somebody like him because I watched so much track and field, you know, worldwide, and was heavily involved with the Drake Relays. And we got to get you up there, the Drake Relays, on your bucket list, the Blue Oval.
Yeah, we'll go together.
Well, I'd love that. I'd like to take a junket. I've got about three or four guys, and I just went this past year. And, you know, it's America's Athletic Classic, and unfortunately it runs the same weekend as the Penn Relays, as you're well aware of. And I wish they'd figure that out, you know, from a corporate participation so that, you know, they ran different weekends. But I ran in that baby 8 years, and I'm still just addicted to track and field. Did you run track and field in high school?
I ran track in high school. Made it to state qualifiers. Didn't have that background as far as someone supporting me at that time. So really, had interest in college, but joined the military instead and ran track in the military.
Well, God bless you for that, too. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
What'd you run?
400 and 800.
My man, that was one of my races.
Okay, we need to race.
Hell no. I mean, heck no. I'm not getting... I'm not getting throttled in front of everybody on 13th and Central.
We're only going 5 yards. That's it.
Oh, I'm in. I live on the beach. I'll start working on the sand. There a quick start. 400 and 800. Yeah. Well, grueling. That's tough to get these kids to want to run the 400 and 800, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially. They're going to be 4 and 8s?
15, 4, 8. Yeah.
That'll take you a long ways, I'm telling you right now. And as you're well aware, Coach, I've worked with a lot of kids up north, and I don't want to work with kids, so we'll talk about that as far as helping out. Anyway, you get these kids that think they're sprinters, and you're like, you're fast.
Right.
But you need to move up to the 400.
Right.
Or you need to move up to 800. And that's what a coach did to me when I was in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made varsity. I ran 4 and 8, and I was very blessed. Got a full ride scholarship, Kentucky, yada, yada. Doesn't matter. 100 years ago. But a lot of kids won't listen to you. My own sons, and when they play college sports, other sports, I said, you just want us to follow in the old man's, you know, footsteps. I said, no. Reality is you are not that fast.
Right.
You're quick.
Right.
But you, 4'8". Nope, too hard. Not, too much work. They played hoops and football anyway. So you know the journey of 4'8".
Yes, sir.
So all these years of coaching, you've had some wonderful experiences, some superb athletes, and I don't want to take away from this conversation with these kids, but talk about Burrell and the incredible success. And the reason I like to highlight him is, and we talked about, and I did last year at this time, during the trials and the tribulations. But I loved that kid's story because he gives back to the community. Here he is on the world stage. He could say, he could put St. Pete in his
room. I knew him as a kid, but now I know him as a young man. Great athlete. Basically, his morals and values are solid. He understands, you know, his mission, and he understands where his strength comes from. So with all that being said, he's a great athlete. I mean, work ethic is phenomenal. You know, he was injured, bounced back from that. Normally, athletes do not bounce back from the injury that he had. But he's made some great strides. He carries a load of track and field, not only for the United States, but for the Bay Area just as well. But he's also a great young man that comes back and gives back, as noted. So coming along, you know, he just knew he was a special talent. Now, when he ran AAU, he ran under the AAU's organization called the Lightning Bolts. I won't take anything from him. And he's got some good pointers from this Coach Rob here. You know, that he was kind of instrumental on that point also. But outside that arena, he's just a great kid and great young man right now.
Well, and the thing about him is growing up here and being a role model for these kids to look up to. You know, keep working hard, good things, you know, and remain on the right path. Good things happen to people.
Right.
And it's even a tougher challenge for you parents and kids in today's world because they have access to the rest of the world that sometimes can be enticing. So, again, I applaud you guys for everything.
Can I say one thing?
You deserve to. Say
okay.
What you want.
I understand St. Petersburg does not have a sports council, but they need to develop one under the new mayor, Ken Welch, for the simple fact the training facilities are not available to everyone. Granted, we do branch off.
We need to have lunch.
Okay, we do need to branch off. We have branched off and made other teams because of, you know, coaching styles and whatnot. But at the end of the day, we all need equal access. They give access to tournaments for and training at high school basketball gyms and everything, but they would not sign off totally on using their facilities. Now, that belongs to the county. It belongs to the county, and we make up the county. So that's one thing I just wanted to just pinpoint.
That's an easy argument.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
Well, I could go on the things I'm discovering being down here and now diving back into sports.
Right.
2.5 years, as I told Coach Rob, I can't believe that these public schools have to fundraise with their own uniforms.
Yeah.
Right.
Horrible. I was competitive in high school sports for almost 20 years up north. I told some of my friends or coaches there, like, oh my God, that's horrible. Right. I mean, you got enough challenges in today's world as a coach and a parent, you know, trying to keep your kids. Anyway, we'll have lunch. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And speaking of Mayor Ken Welch, I was trying to get him on the show this week. Of course, politicians, what are they doing 4th of July weekend? They're kissing babies and shaking hands, but we're going to talk a little bit about keeping St. Pete where the Rays are. But I'll blindside him with his question.
There you go.
On the air. I'll throw a curve at him. I will.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We the whole city would appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I appreciate what you guys are doing more. Now, who's this young lady?
I'm Quan Reese, Shaquana Reese.
So you're the boss. I should have been talking to you the whole time. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Well, fabulous job with your five children?
Yes, five. Three of them are going to the Junior Olympics this year, so they qualified. So I had the pleasure of being, I guess you would say, the track mom this year.
Well, it is a pleasure. I miss those days, you know. I typically took my kids on a travel, and you end up with some stragglers that don't have parents to take them.
Yeah.
Those are the best years of my life. I mean, it's trying for you at times right now, I'm sure, but...
Definitely. Between track and football, and now someone wants to add karate and gymnastics, so it is absolutely phenomenal.
Who's karate?
That would be that Rodney Reese.
Rodney Reese! I'm going to see you in the Olympics. Well, I might not be alive, but see you in the Olympics and getting a gold medal in karate. Or the 1,500 meters, which one would you rather have a gold medal in? 1,500?
Yes.
That's a good goal.
Yes, he qualified for the pentathlon, the 1,500, and turbo jab. Oh, yes. And Solomon qualified in all of his events. He qualified in the pentathlon, the turbo jab, the 1,500, and the 800.
The 800, that's my favorite.
Yep. And then Lanaya qualified in the 1500 run as well as the 1500 race walk. And people kind of close their eyes on the race walk, but she is absolutely phenomenal. She's plays gold. Yeah, she plays gold in the regionals. So we're really looking forward to that. And every time she does the race walk, she definitely receives a medal.
Do you like it?
Yes.
Is it your favorite?
Yes.
That's cool. Now, how old are you?
10.
Now, are you the only girl? You're the boss of the family?
Yes.
Whoa, who's shaking their head over here?
That's got to be Isaiah.
Not the boss?
She is the only girl, and she is the youngest.
Oh, she's the youngest, too.
She is. She's the youngest.
Well, you've got a heck of a track team and group of athletes here.
Very proud of them. Yes,
where are you from then, dear?
I'm originally from New York, but I'm an Army brat.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been in the state of Florida for a really long time. My husband and I argue that I'm not from New York, but that is where I was born, so that's a reality.
And now you're down here in Paradise, and you guys are making a big difference in the St. Pete community. I absolutely love that. We're going to start, you know, I talk about this too, we're going to start launching the MVP, Most Valuable Parents. And these will be my first parents. I'm serious. And we're going to launch that. I was going to wait until August, but I'll get the big O, putting that on social media.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
You guys are going to be, we're going to do it right now. You're our first Camp St. Pete Sports Connection MVP, Most Valuable Parents. And then I'll get you guys down here to Ferg's, have a nice meal with the family.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
On,
thank
okay?
you.
Yep.
Love that. Woo-hoo.
All right, Coach. This has been great. Young man, you've been over there quiet. You were shooting video. You want to grab some mic time? You deserve it.
That's
good catch, man.
Good catch.
MVP parent. Come on,
though.
My name is Isaiah Reese. I play football.
What position do you play?
I play fullback and outside linebacker.
What's your favorite?
And what? For what?
Football, you like running the ball?
I like them both. I like running the ball because I can hit people, and I like being like a linebacker because I can also hit people.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, how old are you?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.